Morning, everybody. Thank you so much for connecting in with us this morning. It's great to be able to worship together, and we're going to spend some time looking at God's Word together now. So if you've got your Bibles, can I encourage you to turn to Luke's Gospel, and we're going to be in chapter 5 this morning. We're actually starting a new preaching series this morning called Encountering Jesus. And what we're going to be doing over the coming weeks is looking at different stories from the Gospel of Luke of Jesus encountering people and the impact that those encounters had on those people. Because one of the things that I'm most struck by when I read the Gospels is just the fact that Jesus meets people where they're at, but that he loves to meet with people, that he loves to be in their midst. He loves to make himself available to people. You know, Jesus always seems to have time for people. He's always willing to have his schedule, so to speak, interrupted by people. And the good news, you know, for us today, for you and for me, whatever your story is that Jesus wants to meet with you as well. You know, in the same way that Jesus, you know, just loved to be in the midst of people, no matter what their background or circumstance or social standing or education or popularity or occupation, you know, or acceptability, whatever it was, whatever they came from, whatever their story was, Jesus just loved to meet with them. He still gave them his time and his attention, and he still invited them to come and follow him. And that's the same for you and me today, whatever your story is, whether you're a Christian or whether you're just looking in for the first time. There's an invitation to you today to come and meet with Jesus. And so my prayer is that as we look at these different encounters, that we wouldn't just kind of learn things in terms of our minds, but actually we would have fresh encounters with Jesus wherever we find ourselves today, whatever our circumstance or situation, however we are feeling. The invitation is extended to all of us. Come and meet with Jesus. And so what we're going to do today in Luke's Gospel chapter 5 is that we're going to look at the story of Jesus calling his first disciples, and we're going to see how Jesus meets with us in our everyday and how we can have an expectation to encounter Jesus in our everyday. So I'm going to read the passage. We're going to start reading in verse 1 down to verse 11, then I'll pray for us, and then we'll get into it. So Luke writes this: on one occasion, while the crowd was pressing in on him to hear the word of God, he was standing by the lake of Gennesaret, which is Galilee, and he saw two boats by the lake, but the fishermen had gone out of them and were washing their nets. Getting into one of the boats, which was Simon's, he asked him to put out a little from the land, and he sat down and taught the people from the boat. And when he had finished speaking, he said to Simon, "Put out into the deep and let down your nets for a catch." And Simon answered, "Master, we toiled all night and took nothing, but at your word I will let down the nets." And when they had done this, they enclosed a large number of fish, and their nets were breaking. And they signalled to their partners in the other boat to come and help them. And they came and filled both the boats, so that they began to sink. But when Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, "Depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord." For he and all who were with him were astonished at the catch of fish that they had taken. And so also were James and John, sons of Zebedee, who were partners with Simon. And Jesus said to Simon, "Do not be afraid. From now on you will be catching men." And when they brought their boats to land, they left everything and followed him. Let's pray together. Jesus, we thank you for your word. Lord, we thank you that it's life to us, it's encouragement to us. Lord, it's refreshment to us. We thank you, Lord, it's through your word that we meet with you. We encounter you by the power of the Holy Spirit. And so we pray that that's what would happen today. Lord, we pray that we would meet with you. We pray, Holy Spirit, that you would open our eyes and our hearts, Lord, to receive what you have to say to us. And we would be responsive to that. And Lord, I pray that you would help me to communicate, to share what I believe you've put on my heart for the people watching today. And I ask that it would be for your glory. In Jesus' name, amen. Oh man. Now, on the face of it, I'm sure you'll agree, it's a pretty remarkable story, isn't it? It begins with two ordinary guys, just going about their everyday business. They've been out all night, trying to earn a living. They haven't caught anything. They're washing their nets first thing in the morning. And suddenly, this guy, Jesus, comes along. He asks to get into the boat, and that sets in motion this little sequence of events that results in Simon Peter falling on his knees, in absolute kind of humility, and in the end committing himself to leaving everything behind, everything that they've built up and poured their life into, leaving it all behind and following Jesus. I think you'll agree it's a fairly significant transformation that has happened from the beginning of the story to the end of the story. And you can imagine, when Simon Peter got home that evening and his wife was asking him, oh, how was your day, darling? And he starts to tell her the story, of we'd had a bad night and we were just washing our nets, and then Jesus came along and he asked to get into my boat, and so I let him go into my boat, and he taught the crowds, and then he said, go out into the water and cast your nets out. And I was like, there's no point in casting your nets out, because obviously we've been out all night and we haven't caught anything, but I did it anyway. And then you wouldn't believe what happened. All of these fish came in and it was just amazing, and I fell down on my knees and we got back to shore, and basically I left everything, and now I'm going to follow him. And you can just imagine his wife being like, whoa, 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 just back up a bit here, Simon. What do you mean you've left everything? What do you mean you've left? What, you've left the business? What do you mean you're now committed to following him? Like, how has this happened? How have we got from there to where we are now? Because there's no doubt from the story that at the end, Simon and Andrew and James and John are all in. Like, their hand is all in. They are completely devoted to following Jesus. And if you're a Christian watching this morning, you can kind of see that devotion, and hopefully you think, yeah, I want to be there. I want to be all in with Jesus. But sometimes we think that kind of devotion is reserved almost for the select few, for the super spiritual people, for the people who are employed by the church, for the ministers or the elders, or the people who've been to university and done a theological degree, or have read all of their Bible back to back and upside down, and or have an amazing prayer life. But for most of us ordinary folk, we can only dream of having that kind of response to Jesus, only really dream of having that kind of passion that we're so devoted him that we would leave everything behind. And yet what we see in this story is that these weren't full-time religious men. These weren't theologically educated men. These were just ordinary guys. They were just fishermen who happened to have an encounter with Jesus that radically transformed their lives and resulted in them laying down everything in order to follow him. And so what I want us to look at this morning is how did they get to that place? What was it in their encounter with Jesus that led to that place of devotion? And how do we cultivate that kind of relationship with Jesus, that kind of commitment to him in our everyday? And so we're going to look at three kind of keys this morning to encountering Jesus in our everyday. The first is that we need to learn to be attentive in our everyday. The second is that we need to be submitted in our everyday. And the third is that we need to allow ourselves to be changed in our everyday. So let's look at the first one of those then, learning to be attentive in the everyday. Now, as I said, the first thing that we've kind of got to realize from this story or recognize is that Simon and Andrew weren't looking for this encounter with Jesus. Like, this was a completely unexpected event. And what I find encouraging from this passage is that they weren't even really in in a good place, to have this encounter. They weren't particularly in a spiritually sensitive place. They weren't in a synagogue. They were on a beach. They'd been up all night. They weren't fresh-faced. They were probably a bit grumpy and a bit grizzly, having not caught anything. They weren't in a position of great faith and expectation and anticipation. They were just going about their every day. They were just washing their nets down. They were probably, after the night they'd had, thinking, let's just do this as quickly as we possibly can so we can go home. And then it's in that moment, it's in that moment of ordinary, mundane, bit grumpy, not particularly full of faith, that they have an encounter with Jesus that changes them forever. And the thing I find encouraging about that is that Jesus can meet us wherever we are, whatever we're doing, however we're feeling, and he can change us. And we can have encounters with him that transform not just our days, but our whole lives. And the key behind all of this is that although in that moment they weren't expecting to have an encounter with Jesus, and although in this moment they're not even looking at the start of this day to have an encounter with Jesus, I really believe that Jesus is looking to have an encounter with them. Jesus is wanting to get their attention. How do I know this? Well, we read in verse 2, it says of Jesus that he saw two boats by the lake, but the fishermen had gone out of them and were washing their nets. And so getting into one of the boats, which was Simon's, he asked him to put out a little from the land. Now just picture the scene, okay? Simon and Andrew are sitting on the shore, washing their nets. They look, down the beach, and they see Jesus coming with a whole crowd of people around him. And Jesus, you could almost say presumptuously, goes up to Simon's boat and gets in it. He just doesn't even ask. He just gets into his boat, and then he asks Simon to push him away from the shore so he can teach the people. I don't know what your reaction in that situation would be, particularly given the night that Simon has had. I'm not sure I would be particularly accommodating of that moment. It's a bit like, washing your car and somebody just kind of coming along and getting in and being like, oh, can I just use your car for a minute? Oh, do you mind taking me somewhere because I've got to go? And you'd be a bit like, well, hang on a second. This is my car. And Simon could have easily been like, well, hang on, Jesus. This is my boat. Like, what are you doing? And yet what's interesting is Simon doesn't react in that way. It seems that Simon is very happy to kind of go along with what Jesus is saying and doing. He doesn't put up any resistance, it seems. And then he does exactly what Jesus tells him to. And so we've got to ask the question, well, what's going on here in Simon's mind and in his heart? Like, is he just taken aback by the situation? Did Jesus just do it quickly? And before he knew it, Jesus was in the boat and he was kind of stuttering, and so he just kind of went along with it. Or, was he kind of overwhelmed by the crowd that were pressing in, and so he could kind of see that Jesus was in need, and so he was just trying to help out? Or perhaps Jesus was just such a kind of charismatic personality that, he could kind of found himself not able to kind of resist, almost Jesus's charm, almost like he hypnotized him and he had to do what he said. Well, actually, I don't think it's any of those things that made Peter happy for Jesus to get into his boat, and then happy to get into the boat with Jesus, and happy to push Jesus out so he could teach, and then ultimately happy to follow what Jesus says. I think the reason that Simon Peter was happy to do all of these things is because he had learned that when Jesus does something or says something, the best thing to do is to pay attention to what Jesus is saying and doing. And I think what we see here is an example of Simon Peter growing in his attentiveness in the everyday, that he recognized this was a moment that Jesus was doing something. He was attentive to that, and he didn't want to miss out on that thing. And the reason that I think this is because I'm almost certain that this isn't the first time that Simon encounters Jesus. You know, we can read from this story, and particularly the even more truncated versions of this story in Mark and in Matthew's gospel, and it can almost appear like this is the first time that Simon is encountering Jesus, that Jesus literally turns up, never having met this guy before, gets into his boat, starts telling him what to do, has this amazing catch of fish, and at the end of it, this guy, having literally what? Been in his presence for 20 minutes, half an hour, is like, I'm going to leave everything and follow you. When we think about that, we think, I'm not sure. I mean, I know Jesus is an amazing guy and a powerful presence, but that doesn't seem to quite ring true, even with the miraculous catch of fish. And so therefore, I think that this is not the first time that Simon and Andrew are encountering Jesus. And we can get to that by piecing together some clues that we find in some of the other Gospels. Now, trying to work out the chronology of the Gospels is not always the easiest, because the Gospel writers don't always write things in a chronological order. But it seems from John's Gospel that Andrew and Simon had an initial encounter with Jesus that John records, when Andrew, who was a disciple of John the Baptist, was present with John the Baptist when John sees Jesus and says, "Behold, the Lamb of God come to take away the sins of the world." And John's gospel tells us that Andrew follows on after Jesus and then goes and gets his brother Simon and takes him to Jesus. And at that moment, Jesus says, "Oh, you're going to be called Peter from now on." It seems that that is the initial meeting that they have. And then it seems also that Simon has another encounter that's recorded in Luke just before this one. In Luke chapter 4, verse 38, it says this: "And Jesus arose and left the synagogue and entered Simon's house." Okay, it's going to be the same Simon. Now, Simon's mother-in-law was ill with a high fever, and they appealed to him on her behalf. And he stood over her and rebuked the fever, and it left her. And immediately she rose and began to serve them. So Simon seems to have had an initial meeting with Jesus, and obviously been impacted by that. And then he finds Jesus at his house, which suggests that they had built up some kind of relationship, or perhaps Simon had been following Jesus around a little bit, maybe listening to him in the synagogues. One way or another, we don't quite know how, but Jesus ends up at Simon's house healing his mother-in-law. So you can see that Simon Peter's attention is beginning to be captivated by this man. And then it's very likely as well, Jesus preached a lot by the shore of Galilee, that there were other occasions where maybe when Simon was going about his kind of everyday business, doing his fishing, cleaning his nets, all that kind of thing, he would see Jesus, he would hear Jesus teaching. And so as the days go by, he begins to become more and more acquainted with Jesus and begins to pay more and more attention to Jesus, so that when this moment occurs in his everyday, he doesn't miss it. He doesn't miss the importance, the significance of this encounter with Jesus. And so I think what we see happening in this moment is that probably up until now, Simon and Andrew have, they followed Jesus from a distance. You know, they've been interested observers. You know, they've been attentive, but from arm's length to a degree, although Jesus has certainly been getting closer, but they've been following from a distance. And then here we have a moment where that changes. And actually, it changes from being following at a distance to Jesus inviting them to come and follow from close up. They've been attentive from far off, and now they have an invitation, an opportunity to be attentive from close by. And I think Simon recognizes the opportunity and decide, because he's been growing in this attentiveness, because he's been paying more and more attention, he decides to go with Jesus in this moment, because he recognizes that it's an important moment. And so in this moment, he has a choice to make. Am I going to allow Jesus to come closer, or am I going to keep him at arm's length? And he makes the choice: no, I'm going to allow him to come closer. And it's clear that Jesus has been trying to get their attention. You know, it's not a random act that he chooses Simon's boat to get in. Because just as Simon has been growing in attentiveness towards Jesus, Jesus has been lasering in on Simon. And so he chooses his boat very deliberately because he wants Simon to encounter him in a new way on that day. And so I guess the question for us to think about today is, how might Jesus be trying to get your attention today? You know, are you somebody who's been following him, kind of interested and as an observer from a distance? But actually today, Jesus is saying, no, I want you to come closer. I want you to be more attentive to me. Maybe Jesus is trying to get your attention through this message today to say, it's not enough to kind of observe from afar, to be interested. I want you to come close. I want to get into your boat. I want to get into your life. And I want you to follow me today and be committed to following me. So the first way that we see we can encounter Jesus in the everyday is by being attentive in the everyday to what Jesus is doing, not missing what he's wanting to do, not missing his invitation to us. And then the second way that we can grow in encountering Jesus in the everyday is in being submitted to him. So in my house, I'm married, for those of you who don't know, to the lovely Miriam, and we've got three young children. And there are some things in our house that I'm good at, and then there are some things that I'm not so strong at. And there are some things that Miriam very much wants my input into, and other things that she's really not that keen to have my input into. So anything to do with kind of decoration, clothes, design, anything like that. If I try to kind of express an opinion, I'm very lovingly told, do you know what? Just kind of thanks very much, but no thanks. Let's play to our strengths. And I'll just kind of make this decision. This area is kind of a bit off limits, really, because it's not really your area of strength. And sometimes we can act a little bit like that when it comes to kind of Jesus's influence and input into our lives. Sometimes we're reluctant to let Jesus into every area of our lives. But that's what it means to be submitted. To be submitted to Jesus is to say, Jesus, you have access to it all. Like nothing is off limits. It's not like, okay, Jesus, I want your input in the spiritual things. You know, I want your input into how I grow as a worshiper. I want your input into how I grow in prayer. But actually, when it comes to the other areas of my life, you know, my marriage, my parenting, my finances, my work, I don't really see how your input is particularly relevant here. So you can have this part of me, but actually, this part I'm just going to kind of keep to myself. And yet we see here that the key to encountering Jesus in our everyday is to be fully submitted to him. It's to say to him, no, Jesus, you can have a say, not just a say, you have the say in every part of my life. And we see the beginnings of this in the way that Simon responds to Jesus. So firstly, as we saw in verse 3, where it says, getting into one of the boats, which was Simon's, he asked him to put out a little from the land, and he sat down and taught the people from the boat. See, the first thing that we see is that Jesus wants to use what Peter has, what Simon Peter has, for a different purpose than Peter realizes. He wants to use what Simon has for a higher purpose. He wants to use what Simon has ultimately for a kingdom purpose, to be able to reach people with the gospel, with the good news. He wants to use the things that Simon has that have never been used for that purpose before. Yeah, he wants to reappropriate those things, so to speak, for kingdom purposes. And Simon, therefore, is confronted with a choice. Am I going to let Jesus use my boat to teach the crowds? Or am I going to say to him, Jesus, this is a fishing boat. This is not a preaching platform. Find something else. But actually he doesn't. He says, no, you can take my boat and you can use it however you want to. And I wonder how we relate to that situation. You know, are the things in our lives and the things that we do fully available to be used by Jesus, fully submitted to him, to be used by him for the preaching of the gospel, for the advancement of God's kingdom? Perhaps you hear that sentence and it's almost surprising to you that Jesus would be interested in using anything that you have, or interested in using you to fulfill his kingdom purposes. And yet, that's exactly what Jesus does want to do. It's what he does here with Simon, and it's what he wants to do with you as well. He wants to use your work to reach people with the gospel. He wants to use the gifts that he's given you to reach people with the gospel. He wants to use your finances or your house to advance his kingdom. Everything that he has given you, he wants to have access to be used for his purposes. And so the question for us, as it was for Simon, is, are we willing to let him do that? Are we willing to say, yeah, Jesus, you can totally take my business, my house, my bank account, my whatever it is. You can totally have access to that and you can use it how you want. Or are we those who would say, actually, you know what? I don't see how that's for that purpose. That's more for my purpose. I mean, you can't have that. That's not what that's for. This is a boat. It's for fishing. It's not for preaching. Or are we going to be those who are available to be used by Jesus? You see, the most beautiful thing that we see in this passage is that when we make ourselves and our things available to be used by Jesus, he does a beautiful thing in that he involves us. He doesn't just take what we've got, but he involves us in his work that he wants to accomplish. So maybe again you missed it in verse 3, but it says, getting into one of the boats, which was Simon's, he asked him to put out a little from the land. Jesus didn't probably need Simon to do that. Jesus, I'm sure, would have been able to push himself out in a boat a little away from the land so that he could do the teaching that he wanted to do. And yet, He includes Simon. It might seem a small way, it might seem a simple thing that he does, but he includes Simon in that, in his purpose. And then Simon is in the prime position to sit and watch Jesus. He's close up and personal as he witnesses Jesus reaching out to the crowds, Jesus doing the things that Jesus does. It's an amazing picture how God takes our small contribution and uses them to achieve his purposes, how he invites us to co-labor with him and to partner with him to achieve his purposes. And just in case Simon misses what's going on here, the significance of his involvement, and just in case we might be tempted to miss the significance of it, Jesus then takes it a step further by basically acting it out, you know, by acting out this symbol in the miraculous catch of fish. So we read in verse 4, and when he had finished speaking, he said to Simon, put out into the deep and let down your nets for a catch. So we see again that he's giving Simon an instruction. Jesus could have clicked his fingers and said, Simon, I'm going to give you a massive catch. Here you go. And the boat, the fish could have just started jumping out of the sea into the boat. He says, no, Simon, you've got a part to play here. Put the boat out into deeper waters and let down your nets for a catch. And it says, and Simon answered, Master, we toiled all night and took nothing, but at your word, I will let down the nets. And again, Simon here has a choice. You know, you could understand if he had said, listen, Jesus, greatest respect, you're a carpenter. I'm a fisherman. I've been fishing all night and caught nothing. I can tell you there is absolutely no point in going out into the deep. There aren't any fish there. I'm not going to catch any fish. So thanks very much for your suggestion. But I suggest that we just go back to shore now. And yet, he doesn't do that. He humbles himself and he trusts Jesus. And again, the thing that I find encouraging is that it's not like he does it with punch the air faith. He's very honest. He says, Master, we toiled all night and took nothing. So he's not exactly like, yeah, great, let's go for it. He's like, we've done this. I've tried this before and I haven't caught anything. But here's the key. He then says, but at your word, I will let down the nets. Even though I've toiled all night, even though I've tried in my own strength, I'm going to trust you. I'm going to follow you. I don't feel particularly full of faith, but at your word, I'm going to go. And I just find that so encouraging. You know, when particularly for us as a church, entering into a new season, looking to become our own independent church, I feel the call of God in it. But I must admit, I don't always feel full of punch to the air faith. But I want to take Jesus at his word. And I want to encourage you, even if you don't always feel like you've got punch to the air faith, let's be a people who take Jesus at his word and do what he tells us to do. Because when we do that, what do we see? We see miraculous provision. We read in verse 6, and when they had done this, they enclosed a large number of fish and their nets were breaking. And they signaled to their partners in the other boat to come and help them. And they came and filled both the boats so that they began to sink. So Simon obeys Jesus. He does what Jesus says. And it's very interesting. Two things happen. Number one, Jesus comes through with the most amazing miracle, the most amazing provision, this huge miraculous catch of fish. But almost what I find more interesting is the second thing that happens is that Simon suddenly feels totally out of control. He says yes to Jesus, thinking this is going to, you know, I don't know how this is going to work out, but it's going to be for my good. And it is for his good. But in the midst of that, the result of him saying yes to Jesus is suddenly he is out of control and the boats are sinking. And how often do we, in faith, say yes to Jesus? And the result is, by saying yes, actually, we suddenly feel even more out of our depth than we have done before. And actually, if we do feel like that, and if that is our experience, that's a good place for us to be in. Because it's in that moment that we see the final key to encountering Jesus in our everyday, in that it's when we say yes to him, when we let go of our securities, when we allow ourselves to be out of control and in his hands, that we become changed in our everyday. I find Simon's response to what's happening so instructive for us. That when the fish can't start pouring in to the boat, his response isn't, wow, look what I've done. Look what I've managed to do. Yeah, with Jesus' help. But look at what we have been able to do. He doesn't respond like that at all. We read in verse 8, that when Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord. Simon encounters the grace and power of Jesus, and his response is to fall upon his knees in humility. He's humbled, he's ruined by what he encounters in Jesus. The truth is, in this moment for Simon, something significant changes in his heart that day. He learns that he doesn't know it all. He learns that he can't do it all on his own. He learns that he doesn't have all of the answers. He learns some deep things about himself. But more importantly, he learns some deep things about Jesus. And when we learn deep things about Jesus, when we encounter the power and grace of Jesus in our everyday moments, in our weakness, we cannot help but be transformed by him. Simon realizes in the presence of Jesus' grace and power that he is a sinful man. And what is his response? He says in verse 8, "Depart from me." Isn't that interesting? He's just seen Jesus do the most amazing thing, and yet his response is, "I'm not worthy. Get away from me. Depart from me. I can't look upon you." We don't know exactly what the revelation that he had of Jesus in this moment is, but he calls him Lord. He recognizes Jesus's superiority. We know that later on he will have a revelation of Jesus's messiahship. But in this moment, he finds himself just humbled before Jesus and saying, I can't be in your presence. As I encounter your grace and I encounter your power, I can't even look at you. And you know what? In one sense, that's true for all of us when we encounter Jesus's grace and power. But when we encounter him in our weakness, in our everyday, we should have that moment of like, who am I? Who am I to be in your presence? We're humble before him. We're ruined before him. We're aware of our sin before him. And yet the encouragement to Simon and the encouragement to all of us is to look at how Jesus responds to him. He says in verse 10, "And Jesus said to Simon, 'Do not be afraid. From now on, you will be catching men.'" Jesus lifts up Simon's head, maybe pulls him up from his knees. He says, "Hey, don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. You and I are going to go fishing together. I've got a purpose for you. I want you to come and follow me and serve me." And you think what you just saw was amazing? Well, actually, you're going to see that, but not with fish. You're going to see that with people. Come and let's go fishing together. Come and let's do life together. Because actually, yeah, you're right, you are sinful, but I know, Jesus is saying, you know, must be thinking this, and he said, "I know that, yeah, you are sinful, but I know what's coming. I know that sin, I'm going to go to the cross and I'm going to deal with that sin." So that doesn't have to be a barrier. It doesn't have to be a barrier to you knowing me and to me using you and to you walking with me, because I've come to redeem and I've come to rescue, and we're going to go fishing together. And what is Peter's response to this amazing act of grace from Jesus? It says in verse 11, "And when they brought their boats to the land, they left everything and followed Jesus." The encounter that they have with Jesus's grace leads to them to a place of being willing to leave everything behind. The encounter that they have with Jesus's power leads them to being transformed in their inner being. It changes their priorities. It changes their direction. It changes their decision. And all of this comes about because they are responsive to the invitation to come and encounter Jesus. And I want to say again to you this morning, Jesus wants to meet with you today. He wants to invite you to come and follow him. He wants to use what you have for his glory. He wants to lead you. He wants to change you. He wants to go fishing with you. And the question that you have to respond to and wrestle with is, are you willing to let him? Are you wanting that kind of encounter, that kind of intimacy with him? It's available to you. It's available to you every single day if we would be attentive, submitted, and as a result, we would be changed. Let me pray for us as we finish. Lord Jesus, I thank you for your word today. I thank you, Lord, that you call out to us and draw us close to you, that you pursue us in our everyday moments, even when we're not necessarily pursuing you. I pray, Lord, that we would have hearts that are responsive to you, that recognize your call, that recognize your invitation, and that we would respond. Lord, that we would learn what it is to encounter you in our everyday, that we'd be people that have attentive hearts. I pray, Lord, if we have been looking on from afar, Lord, that today would make the mark the moment that we start to walk closely with you. I pray, Lord, if we've been holding things back from you or not believing that you can use us, I pray today would be the day we say, Lord, everything that I have is yours. And Lord, I pray, Father, that as we respond to you in those ways, we would encounter you afresh. We would fall on our knees, humbled before you, and yet also receive your outstretched arm inviting us to come and co-labor with you and to come and fish with you, Lord, all because of your grace and all because of your power. We ask that you would change us continually and make us more like your Son and more effective for your kingdom. In Jesus' name, amen.